It's nice to be back here.
Amen.
Yeah, feels good. Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Once upon a time, I found a chair by the side of the road. It was the same style chair that Harry and I had had in our home for many years. It was a favorite chair of mine, and there's a special story about that that I won't tell you, but maybe someday. But long before I found this chair by the side of the road, that other chair had gone the way of all chairs, except my great-grandmother's chair I still have. But that chair was gone. But here one day, there was one just like it. Small, it had a spindled back, it had wooden arms, and there was a fabric skirt. And it was sitting there, discarded, by the side of the road. Well, as you might guess, I stopped. I got out. I looked it over. I shook my head sadly at how dirty and crummy it looked. And I loaded it in my car. Tim knows I would do that because he knows that I say I like to repair things. Well, that chair was wobbly. It was really dirty. It clearly needed lots of TLC. The cushion on it had to be thrown out. The seat was made out of straps and it was broken through. I spent about 6 weeks cleaning, repairing, and refinishing that chair. Making new cushions for the back and the seat, finding a cheerful fabric to cover those cushions and to make the skirt. And then, with great love, I gave that chair as an extra wedding gift to my son Luke and his bride Rachel. It was something of me for them to have in their home. It was a joy to me as I worked on that chair to think that that chair would be in first their apartment and later in their home. But I want to tell you the main thing about that chair. In some rather deep way, I felt that that broken, dirty chair left by the side of the road was me. My children were growing up. They were leaving home one after another. I had been serving the church where I was for about 15 years, and I felt like all the things I did well, they did well. And I had been in prayer with God about where can I go to be effective once again. I had interviewed for a couple of jobs that I didn't get. In some real and deep ways, I felt that I was left behind, unwanted, uncared for, maybe even unlovely. I felt a little like a failure, a discard, and maybe there have been times when you have felt that way yourself. But I think it's pretty certain that the people of Israel felt that way during the time of Jeremiah. When their country had been defeated, their king had been taken away, their land and their cities left in ruins, when many of the people, especially the leaders, had been taken far away into exile. And we know that though it was later rebuilt, the temple would never, ever again approach its former glory. In fact, we know that the system, the Jewish system of synagogues that we know today, was developed during that time of exile. Those synagogues that they developed when they were in Babylon were smaller places where they could worship God and they could engage in teaching the scriptures. The synagogues were places for Jewish men and boys, particularly, to learn those scriptures and the law. A synagogue, after all, could be established if there were as many as 12 males over the age of 11. If you had 12 men or boys at least 12 years old, you could form a synagogue. Now, the temple in Jerusalem had a magnificence, and worship there had been based on a system of priests and rituals and sacrifices. But the easier, portable way to worship God through the synagogue is the way the Jewish people managed to survive with their faith intact in the time of exile. So the positive outcome of that was that the Jewish faith has been well served by worshiping and learning through the smaller local synagogues, much like the one we have across the street. In fact, synagogue-based worship is what has enabled Judaism to survive through the centuries in numerous times and places of persecution, including the Holocaust of Nazi Germany. Well, that's your history lesson for today. I think the Jewish community in exile in the time of Jeremiah would have felt, as I did, like that old discarded chair, that they were no longer beautiful and they might not even have been useful. That was what Israel, what the Jewish people were like in the time of exile. So for me, that work I engaged in restoring that dirty, worn out, discarded chair became, the Sunday school class is going to love this, it became a spiritual exercise. Each step of that process reminded me that God was in the process of repairing and restoring and refinishing me. That God would put me back to work for God's purposes in God's own time and in God's own way. Just as God can and does repair and restore each of us when we open ourselves to the loving work of God's hands. I think we see that mirrored around us in this room, in a space well-loved and well-used that has now responded to loving and capable hands in being restored. And you can smell the new carpet, and you can see the clean new paint and the nice new floors in the foyer. You can feel them as you walk on that soft carpet. You can wonder a bit at the new space in the middle and at the renovated bathrooms. And I think, to be honest, we can give thanks that the legacy of Highland United Presbyterian Church lives on in the work that has been done here at Hope, where Highland found a home and where Highland's resources have made so much possible for us. Just as the vision and the energy of the Young Hope Church also emerges in this space. You see, the point of all that we do, you and me, the church, all that we do is found in this new covenant that Jeremiah lifts up for us. Austin read it so well. This is the new covenant, God says. This is the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God. They shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they will all know me. That's a powerful statement. We wouldn't have to teach each other because we already knew God in our hearts. I got to write the call to worship today. I had some fun with that because I wanted to celebrate this renewed house of worship. In truth and love, God has called us into this house of worship. And then you got to respond. God has said to us, you are my people, I am your God. You hear the echo from Jeremiah 31? Not once, but again and again the word is spoken, and there is rejoicing all over the earth. The words ring out with a loud cry, you are my people, I am your God. You are my people close to my heart. That's the new covenant. That's the new covenant. We know that the people of Jeremiah's time were not always faithful in their worship of God. Many had begun to worship the idols and gods of the nations around them. Jeremiah preached against their doing that. Don't do that. But even when they were faithful in following Yahweh, who is our God, Yahweh, they spent their energy trying to follow all the intricate religious laws and bringing in the prescribed sacrifices, pigeons or lambs or bullocks, to be killed and burned in the temple. They kept to that kind of worship. But the scripture is pretty clear with us that God wanted something different. We read it in Micah. God wanted the people to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with their God. So now, in Jeremiah's time, through the loss of the temple and the time in exile, God began this restoration, this new covenant, writing the law of faith on the hearts of the people. So the new covenant was made so that people would know God in the very fiber of their being, not through a schedule of sacrifices and prayers and offerings, not through the church committees and the church programs, but by who they knew themselves to be because of who their God was. They showed this new covenant by holding an understanding of God in the very way they lived, by speaking with truth and kindness, by living with humility, by seeking justice, by caring for others. As Micah said, by doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with God. That's the goal for us to follow. That's the pattern we find in Jesus. That's the way you and I and our churches become repaired and restored to live as Christ wants us to live. Not left by the side of the road, but lovingly cleaned and restored and forgiven and set free. So the new covenant that we read here in Jeremiah 31, guess what? This is the last Sunday of our Jeremiah series. You know a lot more about Jeremiah than you did before. The new covenant in Jeremiah 31 tells us that we know who we are. We know who we are because we know who our God is. It's written on our hearts. It's written on our hearts. So here's what I mean, and I'm going to end by asking Bob Reed to play you an amazing song. It's a song by Casting Crowns, and it's called Who Am I? And the refrain says, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Well, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. That calm the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their gods, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. Let us pray. For the ways you show your love for us, for the ways you repair the broken pieces and restore the tarned finish, for the way you embrace us and send us forth, for the way you say, welcome home, we give you thanks. In Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.